last Sunday of the year. One more day. Two more days, actually. And then we celebrate a new year. Are you looking forward to the new year? Such enthusiasm. Are you starting to think about your resolutions for the new year? I've been seeing a plethora of commercials about exercise equipment and weight reduction thingies like SlimFast and, you know, all that stuff. This is the time for that. Well, it seems like an appropriate time for new plans, you know, new beginnings, new adventures around our health. And that doesn't always mean weight. It just means taking care of our bodies more. What about attitudes, new attitudes? What could we change from last year? Or what do we want to make better from last year about our attitudes toward people and things? The news. What about relationships? Oh, this is a great time to think about what exciting ways, what new ways can we refresh our relationships? What about our ideas about prosperity? About moving from more of a, oh, woe is me, I'm not a lucky person, you know, to the fact we are swimming in a universe of prosperity. We'll be talking more about that in 2019. It pays to remember some of the principles. So before you start a new year, is there any area of your life where you're stuck? Now, you don't have to put up any hands. You don't have to jump up and say, yes, I'm stuck around whatever. But just think about that. Is there any area of your life where you might be stuck, where you're maybe trying to move forward or make progress or make changes, and it just doesn't seem to be moving off the dime? An area you'd like some change in, or that maybe you've been praying about, a situation, you know, and just nothing seems to be happening. I've shared this with you before, but it bears repeating. One of my early spiritual teachers would always give this advice when you would, if you were stuck and you would come to her for advice, you know, and you'd sit at her feet, because she was just a very incredible healer and spiritual teacher and person. And you'd wait for those words of wisdom, and she would very patiently listen to your story, your tale of woe, you know. And she would say, go clean out a closet. I'd be like, what? That's the spiritual wisdom? Go clean out a closet? Seems kind of dumb when you think about it. But she claimed it worked. If nothing else, you have a clean closet, right? But she contended that that mentality that it took to clean out a closet, something that needed some organizing and some cleaning and some tossing, was a way of getting us unstuck. So, wherever it is, doesn't matter where you are stuck, or you don't seem to be moving forward, the first thing on your list of resolutions for the new year is go home and clean out your closet and see what happens, and then report back to me and let me know. You know, when we think about it, it's all energy. It is all energy. And we spend a lot of time and effort and money acquiring stuff, clothes, collectibles, tools, shoes. There's a commercial on television. It's obviously for a company that sells shoes, and she opens up her closet and it's like floor to ceiling, 12 feet across, full of shoes. And one of the things I love to do is watch HGTV, because, you know, I'm a rehabber, and there isn't a lot of violence other than beating up a wall to bring it down. And there are these young couples usually buying a new home, and of course they've got very divergent tastes. He likes modern, she likes country kitsch. He likes clean and sparse, and she likes lots of stuff. And so it's watching all these disagreements come together for their first home. And invariably, I don't care what their tastes are, the first thing they look for when they go and they're looking at new property is the closets. Are the closets big enough? Is there a basement big enough to hold their stuff? Is there an attic where they can store stuff? And, well, think about your closet right now. Maybe, men, this doesn't apply to you, but women, is it pretty full? You know, what happens when you bring home something new on sale? You have a hard time getting it in the closet? You kind of smash it in, make some space. Sometimes we have to fight to get another hanger in there. I was watching HSN, another one of my favorite programs. I have such an exciting life outside of church. And you wonder what I do with my time. I watch HSN. Again, no violence. And they're selling special hangers. Have you seen these? The huggable hangers that are so thin. And they're selling them. And the selling point is they're so thin that you can get more clothes in your closet. What if when you brought something home that you got on sale, that concept of on sale, you often have to spend money to get something on sale. So, okay, you get this new sweater or shoes or coat or whatever. And what if when you brought that home, before you put it in the closet, you removed a couple items that maybe you haven't worn in a year or two, or maybe you're just tired of wearing? Then that new thing will go in a little easier. There's actually room now to put in that garment so it hangs straight and smooth. Well, thoughts and ideas, plans and dreams are like that closet and our relationship to that closet, trying to get new stuff in the closet that's already full. When we try and insert new ideas and new dreams and new thoughts into our already stuffed consciousness, the same thing happens. It's a tough fit. It doesn't go in easily. And we're all stuffed, our consciousness, really. I mean, people have been telling us what to do, how to act, what's expected, how we're acceptable, how we're not acceptable, all of our lives. So we've got all that stuff in our consciousness. So this idea of cleaning out our closet is really good information and good recommendations for now as we start the new year. What do we need to clean out of our heads? What do we need to clean out of our memories? What do we need to release? Charles Fillmore was just such an amazing man. You know, he was the co-founder of Unity. And he was so forward-thinking at a time, you know, around the turn of the century when this country was really very fundamental, you know, very orthodox. And here is this brilliant mind thinking in new ways, going back to ancient wisdom and ancient traditions and ancient beliefs, and coming up with some fascinating ideas about who we are and what we're all about. And in his seminal work, Christian Healing, and also his work on the 12 powers, he says, a change of mind affects a corresponding change in the body. So if you want to know why you should even give any effort or energy around changing your consciousness, he's telling us that when we change our minds, there are changes in our bodies. And you know what's really fascinating? Science is proving him right. There are scientific experiments that are done to show that when we change our consciousness, when we lower anxiety levels, when we change how we think, all kinds of chemical and physical changes happen in our bodies. Thank you, Charles, for letting us know about that 100 years earlier than it was proved. He goes on to say, if thoughts are lifted up, the whole organism is raised to a higher rate of vibration. if the body has been burdened with congestion of any kind, a higher life energy will set it into universal freedom. Whoa. Interesting. We take drugs now. It's easier. And sometimes there's chemical imbalances in our bodies, and medications will help. But what Charles is saying, I mean, these were, again, years before we had things to help that way. He was saying, if we start to change our consciousness, the way we think, what we're putting into our minds, the body and mind are raised to a higher vibration. But it's like those full closets. It's hard to get good stuff in. It's hard to get new thoughts in if all that stuff is still crowded in our brains. You know, I think as I look at my mom, who's 97 and suffering from Alzheimer's, and I think in that mind, in that brain that's about the size of, it's not that big, is every experience, every thought, every tactile situation that she's ever had in all of her life. You know, I'm surprised by the time we get to be in our 40s and 50s and even later that all that stuff isn't just leaking out our ears. Really, when you think about it. Because you may not consciously remember something. I guess I was aware of this because going home for Christmas, and we were kind of reminiscing about stuff. And I was talking about something, and my sister said, oh, yeah. She said, I'd forgotten all about that. But it was in there. As I started talking about that, did that happen to you too? People start reminiscing. It's like, oh, yeah, I'd forgotten all about that. But then when you start pulling it out, all the detail is there, all the emotion is there, all the feelings are there. So these brains, this consciousness is like our stuffed closet. Charles really believed that Jesus was our master teacher. And so in his study and in his exploration of the Gospels and other spiritual teachings, he focused on Jesus' work and teachings. He didn't focus so much on the stories about Jesus, because a lot of those are just kind of made up after the fact. What we know is the Gospels weren't written for 40, 50, 100 years after Jesus died. And I don't know about your memory, but my memory isn't that great. So a lot of that oral history got kind of stretched in the retelling. And so Charles focused on what is it Jesus was all about? What was the message he was trying to impart? And what Charles said, and I love this, he said he believed that Jesus prophesied the advent of a race of men and women who would sit with him on the 12 thrones. Now that's referring to some of the stuff that was in Revelation. Because again, that's where people's head was. But what that means is that Jesus was bringing us tools and ideas and consciousness that would make us super beings, that we would be above the norm, that we would have amazing, incredible ideas of invention and imagination to solve the world's problems. We get into a lot of deep symbolism and metaphysics of this higher spiritual understanding when we start looking at scripture this way, when they're talking about the 12 thrones and sitting with Jesus with and the 12 seals and all that stuff. What he's saying is that as a master race, we will have come to a consciousness where we have mastered what he called these 12 powers, powers like strength and power and love and renunciation and judgment and all of those things that would go into making us superior human beings, our own super powers. And he would, this mastering of these powers, this awareness of the things we could become, the people we could become, would take us from the ordinary to the extraordinary. And that was the message that Jesus brought. Oh, the stories are interesting and they're entertaining, but that's not what the whole message is all about. To take us from a personal consciousness, which is pretty narrow. It's more about me, I, me, mine, what's in it for me, to a spiritual consciousness, which is much more broad, which is much more inclusive, which is much more understanding and loving. And in order to do that, it takes some work. Oh, darn, there's always a catch. You know, no matter what we want to accomplish, whether it's dreams or whether it's a spiritual state of being or whether it's being a healer or whatever it is, there are steps along the way that we have to get stronger or save more money or spend the time in prayer or in study. There are no shortcuts to those dreams. And so through words and actions and prayer and an awareness, we now quicken those abilities that are already in us. I don't have to give you anything. I'm not a special priest or priestess that holds power that you don't have. You've got it already. You just need to uncover it. You just need to develop it. You just need to hone it. It's already there. You're Superman. You just haven't ripped off the shirt to see the symbol. So, Charles spent a lot of time talking about those 12 powers, you know, faith and strength, power and imagination, wisdom and love, understanding and will, order and zeal, renunciation and life. And kind of broke them down and gave us stepping stones so that we could take and start developing those in us. And I would think of all those 12 powers, the most difficult one for us to master, when you think about it, because we're programmed by culture, we're programmed by society, we're programmed by religion, we're programmed by our parents to acquire things, is that power of renunciation or elimination. There are lots of words for that one. Because it's not only about eliminating or leaving things or eliminating things from our life. It's also about forgiveness, you know, letting go of old hurts, letting go of old judgments. It's emotionally letting go of a whole bunch of stuff. It's physically letting go of so much stuff. I was thinking about when we packed up my mom to move her. We did that several times, from her home to independent living, and then from independent living to assisted living, and assisted living to memory care. And each time there were these wonderful, valuable things that obviously gave her joy. I mean, I'm not criticizing, but it's like they were now not a part of her life anymore, or there was no more room for it, or they didn't register anymore. Think of the time and the energy of caring for our stuff, whether it's physical stuff or emotional stuff. You know, caring for our stuff, worrying about our stuff, cleaning and dusting our stuff, moving our stuff around, packing it up, unpacking it, insuring our stuff. It's the same way with our thought stuff, the old programming. Think about the amount of energy we use emotionally through our lifetime sorting out who we are because someone told us, you can't do that. You can't sing. You can't accomplish. You can't. You're just going to be a working fool. Whatever it is we were told that we spend the rest of our life trying to untell ourselves. Who you are, who you're not. Who you should be. Oh, that's a good one, because everybody expects you to be, to have, to demonstrate whatever. And that favorite of mine of what will people think when you do whatever it is you're going to do, or you go after your dreams. There's a lot of emotional energy wrapped up in all of that. Oh, just call it what it is, angst. of trying to sort through and walk a balanced line between what's expected of us and what we want to do, what people want and where our heart is, what people say you should do and where our dreams are. And buried in all of that is the religious stuff. Ideas of heaven and hell, sin and punishment, salvation, forgiveness. Who's got the power spiritually and who doesn't? That takes a long time. And even, it's like, what were we talking about the other day that we were saying if we didn't go to church on Sunday, was that a venial sin or a mortal sin if you were raised Catholic? This Ask Reverend Jan, she'd know. That hasn't been talked about in 50 years, but it's in here. I remember what the nuns taught me, and I bet you do too. What's acceptable, what's not? What's a sin and what's not? Those shoulds, oughts, and if onlys that are running around in there. God, wouldn't it be great to just say, I'd like to just go and do a lobotomy, just do a dump, get all that stuff out, and let me start from scratch, knowing what I know and experiencing what I've experienced. Wouldn't that be refreshing? Think of all the time and energy and emotion we've tied up, consciously and unconsciously. I mean, it's there, whether we remember it or not. It's in there. Think about what, as we're moving into 2019, what you could create or dream or accomplish with all of the energy we have tied up, used up, spent on all those shoulds and oughts and if onlys, if we were starting with a clean slate, knowing we have all the power in the universe at our fingertips, that we were meant to be and act and think in a high spiritual manner. Supermen and women. What is the dream? What is the wrong you'd like to make right? I'm not talking about the world. I'm a big believer in making small changes, because out of those small changes, amazing, big, wonderful things happen. What about your own potential? Your own prosperity? More than acquiring, more than getting, more than going to another class, more than reading another book, could I recommend you spend a little time on this concept of renunciation or elimination? Get your mental closets cleaned out so we've got room for new ideas and new thoughts, you know, and new energy. Start the new year with power, true spiritual power. Again, I don't have to give you anything. You've already got it. We just need to uncover it. Next Sunday is our burning bowl, where we formally and in a physical way burn up all that stuff we want to let go of. Can I make a suggestion on that? That you just don't show up. Oh, it's Sunday. I think I'll go to church. Spend a little time this week doing some journaling about the things we want to release, about those things that no longer serve us, about those things that are tying up our energy and giving us high anxiety, old beliefs that no longer serve, forgiveness work. Not only, yes, other people, but ourselves, because I don't know about you, but boy, I've done some really stupid, hurtful things in my life. Thank God there's such a concept as grace. Old habits I'd like to let go of because they're just not serving me. They're not getting me forward to my dreams. attachments. Not only attachments we have, but attachments to certain outcomes. If I do this, that'll happen. Maybe leave a little room for spirit to move and stand back, ready to be surprised. Spirit always does a better job, always. And worry. Worry is usually about stuff past. You can't do anything about it. We have a beautiful 12 powers meditation that we do where we take those 12 different powers, and there are affirmations for quickening those in us. It's a very powerful meditation. And the affirmation in that meditation is, the power of elimination is quickened in me. Just that affirmation, the power of elimination and renunciation is quickened in me. I let go of anything that stands in the way of my spiritual unfoldment. Whoa! Anything, anybody that stands in the way of my spiritual unfoldment, I'm releasing in 2019. There's other books that will go through the 12 powers. And there's another one that says, I release anything and everything that no longer serves my unfolding good. Well, that's what we want in our life, don't we? Good is constantly wanting to unfold in our lives. What are we doing that's blocking that? Instead of spending a lot of time worrying about that, let's just start affirming what we do want, because we have the power to create our world. The way we think, the way we act, the way people react to us, how we do in life, we have that power. We are created in the image and likeness of God, a little lower than the angels. I love that line. If you can't remember or come up with an affirmation or a positive statement, just say, I let go and let God. Let spirit come through and clear out whatever needs to be cleared out. I release and forgive the past. I release and forgive the past. Stuff I've done, stuff somebody else has done. We're starting with a clean slate. I let go of attachment to certain outcomes and instead let God show the way. That requires some faith and trust on our part, that spirit has a higher understanding than we ever can. Spirit always knocks my socks off when I have enough courage to trust. Always, always, always.